Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to 30 Minutes of Wisdom for March 2nd. This is Gregory Mascari from Bozeman, Montana, and I want to thank everyone for joining us here on our Enlightened Networking Live 30 Minutes of Wisdom call or on the replay. Rob and I started these regular weekly calls as our way of paying it back or really paying it forward for all of the amazing people we've been blessed to meet and the wisdom we've garnered over the years and really over the decades. And so it's our intention with these Friday morning 30-minute of wisdom calls is to create a safe space where people from all professions, backgrounds, and companies can come together and really dip into the well of wisdom and learn from some of the most forward-thinking authors, speakers, trainers, and really enlightened beings in the world today. So at this time, I'd like to turn today's call over to my partner in life and enlightened networker, Robin Blank Mascari.
Thank you, Gregory, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us and being part of our enlightened networking community and being part of 30 Minutes of Wisdom. Our topic today is a book that hasn't been released yet. It's coming up soon. It's called Talent Unleashed, Three Leadership Conversations. Our guest is, Gregory talked about thought leaders. This man is a thought leader of thought leaders. He's authored, co-authored four books and that have sold over 2.5 million copies, translated into more than a dozen languages. He is one of the co-founders of the Covey Leadership Center, now Franklin Covey, and has more than 40 years' experience as a manager, senior executive, executive coach, consultant, and teacher. As an author, a co-author with Stephen R. Covey and his wife, Rebecca Merrill, of the international bestseller First Things First, he's also authored, which is where I got to meet him, Connections, Quadrant 2 Time Management, and co-author of The Nature of Leadership, which has some beautiful photos from another one of our speakers, DeWitt Jones. With his wife, his book Life Matters, Creating a Dynamic Balance of Work, Family, Time, and Money, this book was recognized as one of the top 30 best business books in Soundview Executive Summaries. One of my favorite quotes about him, and it kind of summarizes a little bit about who he is, comes from Stephen M. R. Covey, who said, "There's no one I trust more than," and I'm going to share his name in a minute, "his immense credibility gives him great courage, judgment, and influence. He is that rare individual who's able to balance profound wisdom and insight with intensely practical application. I've benefited enormously from his advice over the years." And when I think about this man, even though we haven't been in touch in many, many years, my life has been deeply affected by his work. I first read his book, Connections, in 1988, about a year after it came out, and it's one of those rare books that I have read over and over again, many times on a yearly basis. There's a series of 20 questions in there that have literally changed my life about living more congruently. And for all these years, it's been a focus of mine to, you know, really embody more of what this work is about. And when working at the Covey Leadership Center and being a student of his, I held that this thought, well, this feeling, actually, from back in those years until today, that this is the man that truly, from my perspective, has embodied the seven habits more than just about anyone else I've met, and has inspired more and more people, millions around the world, to truly live a life of authenticity and congruency with what's really important. So it is truly my pleasure and blessing to introduce a great thought leader today, Roger Merrill. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning.
It's so great to have you and be reconnected. And before we jump into your new book, Talent Unleashed, would you be willing to share a little bit about how you got on this journey that's turned into a magnificent process that has touched so many millions of people's lives?
Well, I excuse me, I think you're thinking of the whole seven habits and principle-centered leadership and association with Stephen and that whole process.
Well, the connections work of really, and the work you did with your wife, Rebecca, of helping people live more in balance with what's truly important. What got you started in this?
Well, I suppose like many people, my own challenges, you know.
Isn't that the way?
Yeah, there's so many things that you want to accomplish in life and do and feel and experience, and it's easy to get just overwhelmed. Sometimes we use the term whelmed by all that's going on. And so there was a pursuit early to try to understand and what are the principles, what would help us to be able to live in a way that felt right, that was connected. Some of Stephen R. Covey's early work influenced me, excuse me, along with others, and so I think we just had a quest to try to understand so that we could live life with energy and not just get burned out.
Beautiful. Well, thank you. And again, when I look back at the book Connections, it has been one of my favorite books of all times. And as Gregory knows, he goes, well, Amazon hasn't showed up lately. And I'm a big consumer, and this book has really touched me with a lot of the questions. And now you're writing a new book, and this book is called Talent Unleashed. And I'd love to ask you a few questions about that, if I may.
Sure.
Great. Well, it says you've got four authors on there, and these names are familiar to me. Why so many people?
Well, that's a good question.
It's not an easy job.
Yeah, that's right. Well, in some ways, to have four authors makes things more complex, but there's a real solid reason why we came together. Let me just give you a little flavor for the book, and then
I'd love that.
Go to the why the four authors. Probably one way to capture the very core idea could come from an experience we had, all four of us together, when we were dealing with and had a meeting with one of our associates at Franklin Covey. And we were saying, you know, we need to have an example, a story of how an interaction between people helps someone become and unleash more of what they are capable of doing and being. And the fellow sitting in the group who was the director of creative services just kind of, after we talked for a while, he said, well, I've got a little story. We said, well, tell us about it. He said, well, the story's mine. He said, years ago, I was kind of a youth in rebellion and ended up in a work camp and kind of a corrective situation. And it was my turn to have an interview with the director of the camp. And he described how he looked at the time, and I'll leave it to your imagination, but his hair and his dress and everything was symbolic of the rebellion he was in against life and society. And so he says, I was sitting there in front of this man, and the man just looked at me and said, well, what are some of the things you'd like to accomplish in your life? And he said, the question kind of took me back because he was so sincere and so focused on listening that I found myself telling him about secret dreams and thoughts, and I was just telling him things. And after he just listened with such intensity, he just said to me, you know, Jody, I think you could accomplish any one of those things or any of those things you want to. And I believed him. And it started a relationship, and it started me thinking about myself and my life completely in a different way. And the interesting thing is, Jody has accomplished many of those things, and he's become a very productive member of society, very creative, and very successful. And in a sense, that story captures kind of the core idea of this book, is that people are capable of so much more, but there's something that happens when people connect, that influences those abilities, those strengths to come out. At this point, the cover of the book we're working on has two matches, a close-up of two matches, and one match has obviously been burning, and it touches the other, and it's ignited. There's something about the connection between people that makes such a difference. Now, we then take that to a very practical level because, and this comes to the story of why four authors, that in our experience in working with people and organizations, and let me just briefly, Todd Davis is the chief people officer of Franklin Covey. And so that is a clue. Michael Simpson is one of the senior coaches and consultants and teaches literally all over the world and has been doing it for many years. And Sean Moon is another one of the EVPs and is over all the sales of the programs worldwide. And we've known each other, as you know, for years, and we were talking about this, and it became apparent that between us, and just to illustrate the point, we had over 100 years of experience working with organizations all over the world. And we were saying, if you could pick the one thing that you could do as a manager or as a leader of people that would make the most difference to people in almost any situation, what would it be? And we had a little different wording and language, but essentially we all agreed that the one thing are these three conversations that you hold as part of life and interaction. And so it was such an interesting thing to come together with the variety of experiences that we'd had together. It not only confirmed, but gave richness and flavor to the examples of these conversations and what they are and how they work. So that's why the four authors is there's just a synergy and a sharing there on a point we came together that we felt added more value than just one person writing about it.
How beautiful. And that story about Jody, I think sometimes we take for granted that being there for one person so presently can change a life.
Yeah.
And I just, some of us forget that. So when you look at this new book you have, who is your intended audience, Roger?
Well, it's interesting. We're in a very practical way, we're really targeting people in on the job, people that work. But that's a pretty wide cut, because these conversations, you don't have to be the manager or the general manager or the owner to do them. You can initiate the conversations upline, so to speak, or with the people that report to you or work with you. So we're using primarily a work-based setting, but the principles apply all across our life. But since some aspect of work is so much a part of all our lives, and that's where it really kind of is tested often, because you're right up against some kind of an action that produces a result or creates a result or does not. And so there is a work focus, but it's a very broad application.
So this is something parents could use also.
Absolutely. And there are some examples of that in there.
Well, that's great. And, you use the word talent, and it's interesting. In a lot of work that I've been doing, I've been looking at how can I best support young people and people that really want to live more of their potential. And it's there's a distinction between talent and skill and strength. And, what makes this book with this focus on talent different or worth reading or interesting to people?
Well, again, this question it really gets to a core, because there are books and material out there that has to do with, is talent overrated? Is it an inherent gift, or is it practice that's done over a period of time? Does it take years? Does it take much repetition to attain that level of high accomplishment? And that's all in this realm of talent. How much is nurture and how much is nature and all those issues. We're essentially cutting down right to what we feel is a core issue, and that is that talent in this case is our ability and capacity to do and to contribute. And everybody essentially has greater capacity than they're currently using in most, in almost any kind of a work situation. In if you visit with a group of people, do a workshop, a seminar, a keynote speech, and you whatever, or do a more formal research and ask people, how many of you feel that you are using right now on, in your work today, the high percentage of your talents and your abilities and your capacities right now? Or how many of you have more that you could contribute if you had the opportunity, more you could do? However you ask the question, the results almost are always the same. The huge percentage of people say, yeah, I could do more if I had a little different situation, if I were focused, if I was focused this way or that. There's more I could do and would like to do. So it's how do you help people unleash that capacity that's right there, that people already know and feel that it's more productive, it's more useful, it's more fulfilling, all those things. So it's we're trying to capture that sense of just the potential. And as we get into the conversations, you'll see how specific that becomes.
I love it, because in my past I did a lot of outplacement work working with thousands of people in career transition, and a lot of times people don't even get that distinction between talent and skill, that, you know, God-given gift, you know, that they want to continue to do more and learn more about, even if they're not getting paid. So just bringing attention to that and helping people see more of that is so beautiful. And with that, you've got three conversations to help people get to that place. Could you talk about those three conversations for us?
Let me just... We call them, the first one we call a performance,
uh-huh,
a performance conversation, and the second one we call a voice conversation, and the third we call clearing the path. Now, let me just get into those briefly, because we suggest you're, if you work with any people, any other people, a group of any kind, you're involved in these conversations already one way or the other. So the performance conversation is simply about why we're working together, what we're trying to accomplish, what we're trying to do. And so you're either doing that effectively, where people are agreed upon what they're trying to accomplish, their purpose and how they're going to track progress and what they're going to do and why they're going to do it. They're either clear on that or they're not. But you're involved in that conversation either directly or by abdication. So if you don't have that conversation, you're communicating the fact that people are supposed to just know what to do magically, rather than get together and say, no, this is what we're going to target, this is what we're going to focus, this is what we're going to do. And that has a great deal to do with actually how we perform. So that's that. The performance conversation deals with what we're trying to accomplish, what our goals are, how do we focus, that kind of thing. What we call the voice conversation deals with the human connection in terms of the capacity of people. It's the discussion around what are your wishes, what are your talents, what are your abilities, what are your dreams. It's the kind of conversation that Jody had with his, with the director of this work program. And if you don't have that conversation at all, formally, or talk about it directly, you've sent the message, I don't really care about your talents and abilities. You're just a person here. Just shut up and do your job. And that's what really matters. You're a work unit. It'd be nice if you were an automaton, and then I wouldn't have to worry about feeding you. I could just plug you in. And you send that message. And so you're sending that message one way or the other. But if you just take time to try to understand people, you said you're a real person and a whole person, and that matters. Now, we use a model for this, and we call it voice, because while different forms of this conversation take place all the time, voice is a model that Stephen R. Covey put together that is in some of his writing, and we just find it the most complete. It's the idea your voice is your expression. It's how you express who you are. It's what you communicate to the world, to everybody else. And there's four elements, And one is the talent. What do I do best? What and the more typical use. The other has to do with passion. What do you care about doing? And then the third element is need. What is needed by others, by groups, by society? It's dealing with the possibilities. And then conscience is the fourth element, and it's what within us, what should I do? And so you say, what can I do? What do I care about doing? What needs to be done? And what feels really right? And when those things come together, that's a person's voice, and there's an energy that connects when all those elements come together. And so ideally, this conversation about the person is focusing on voice. And we use the term conversation. It's not a one-time you sit down and go through a checklist. It's ongoing. It's an interaction between people, people conversing. And so in one way, the word conversation sounds pretty mild. But in other ways, when you think about it as an ongoing interaction, it doesn't have to just be formal. Hopefully that captures that interaction. The third conversation we call clearing the path. And that's the role of leadership. It's where a manager or a supervisor moves from a manager or supervisor to a leader. So if there's an agreement in a win-win way about what we're trying to accomplish, if there's a connection about the human aspects of those, what matters, what the need is, what you care about, what's right, and if those are connected, then the people are moving forward. And then instead of the manager being a snoopervisor, so to speak, always going around looking at what's happening and trying to make it happen, the manager moves to a leader, because you don't have to drive people. You're not checking up all the time. What you're doing is you're interacting with people and saying, what can I do on my level to facilitate, to open the doors, to create new work opportunities, to help them build their capacity? You're thinking differently. It's a different mindset, and you look at things differently. And that's where the power of leadership comes. The idea of being a servant leader has been around for a long time. But one of the reasons that often doesn't work is because there's not a clarity and a commitment process to focus on what we're actually going to create and do. And so that basic performance agreement hasn't taken place. And there hasn't often been that interaction between people that deals with voice. And so a manager wants to be a leader and wants to be a servant leader, but things aren't getting done. They're going in the wrong direction. They feel some responsibility. So they end up spending their time running around, putting things together, fixing up, moving, solving, correcting, putting Band-Aids over, and they're so exhausted, the idea of being a servant leader is just an idea. But if you get those other things in place, then the role changes, and that's where real leverage and productivity of teams happens, and real synergy takes place, because there's that focus, and the human aspect is there, and then the leaders facilitate, and the people with the responsibility are moving on something they care about, and that's where everything kind of moves to a different level. So there are three conversations, but they're core. We sometimes say in any organization, wherever you are, if you really want to get to world-class performance, there has to be that interaction on performance, whatever you call it. There has to be that human connection that takes place on individuals. And the role of leaders has to take place to really start moving in a dramatic, long-term way. That's when it starts to happen. That's when it starts to take place. So they're kind of universal. We sometimes call them it's life and energy on a molecular level. It's at the core of any great team or organization. You will find these elements. One of the little research things we do is we get a group of people and say, think of the name of a leader that you has really influenced your life, that's a great leader, and have people just literally write the name. They don't have to show it to anybody, but write the name and say, now, let me ask you three questions about that person. One, did they have a way to help you become clear on what you were trying to accomplish and how you were going to track progress, and you, so you knew your job. Did they have a way to help that happen? The second question is, did they care about you, your talents and your potential and what you could do in your career? Did they have a way to interact with you on that to where it really mattered? And then the third question is, did they have a way that they helped you to facilitate your success and your accomplishment? Did they have a way? And almost every time, if not all three, two of the three that people put down as their the leader that's made a difference in their life, two or three, and in most cases all three, they said, yes, they did that. They had a way to do that. Well, those are the three conversations. We're just giving them a name and a label and putting them together where they're complete enough that the positive elements of those conversations can be focused on and built into the habit pattern of our lives.
Wow. The more you talk, Roger, the more excited I'm getting. When's the book coming out?
Well, we're having a meeting in a few days, and we're still finalizing some publishing, some dates, and some aspects of it. One of the things that makes this kind of an interesting and a very practical thing is we've developed some little cards. They're little plastic cards. We call them a transparent agenda that have some core questions on them that are about each of these conversations. And so the idea is, and we're doing this now in workshops and groups and talks and so on. We have these cards and we go through this and give these cards to people, and they go and they can immediately that afternoon, literally, start to do it. So the way it works, for instance, you have a little deck of these cards on the performance conversation. So you sit down with your boss, or if you are the boss, you say, you know, I just want to be really clear on what I'm trying to do and how I'm going to measure it and make sure that we're in alignment. And here's some little agendas that, with some questions that kind of help do that. Do you mind if we just kind of talk through these? And you just pop them down, and each person gets a set. There's no hidden agenda. There's no trick. There's no technique you're doing on somebody. You just simply say, here's what we have. Let's talk about these. And then you have questions that you discuss. So, for instance, on the voice conversation, you have some just simple questions you ask. And you say to people a question like, and it's they have it right in front of them, and say, let's talk about our need. Is there an unmet need and or an opportunity that you see among our customers or within our business that we're not now or in the marketplace we're not meeting? And so you start talking about that. Or, for instance, if you're talking about their talent, what are your interests, talents, and capacities, and how could you develop them further? It's right there in front of you, and you have a conversation about that. And it's an interesting thing. Just with having that down, some amazing things start to happen at the interaction, and it just makes it so apparent. This is a good thing to talk about. And who wouldn't want to talk about what we're trying to do on the job? Who wouldn't want to talk about how we can help? You know, you'd have to be really warped not to want to talk about that.
I love it. It sounds like what you've created here with this book, Talent Unleashed, is to create a more conscious competence with people to really bring out the best in people. And this quote from Stephen Senior keeps showing up in my mind, is you can buy people's hands and backs, but you can't buy their hearts and minds.
Exactly.
And by going through these conversations, when there's someone that really does care, and underneath it all, they have to really care, because if they don't, it's not going to work. But these conversations really, really bring out, you know, the depth of what's important to people, and that's where we touch their hearts and bring out their best and their creativity and their talent.
Well,
so we have just another minute here before we complete. Is there any other final comments you want to share this morning, Roger? I could go on and on and on. I knew you were up to something great, because you always are, and you really have had such a profound impact. Even though we haven't been in touch in so many years, your work really put my life on track in ways that I don't think I could ever begin to express, of helping so many people live their life with what's important. So what are any final comments?
Well, thank you. I guess you kind of actually nailed it. You went back to what Stephen was saying. We have tried to take these little cards to make it very practical, but also identify there's four underlying principles that make the difference. So in other words, it's not just a technique. You can start applying it if you understand the principles. And then the principles, they'll ring with you. But one is trust and trustworthiness. The other is responsibility, that you truly believe people are responsible and have the potential of being responsible. The third one is contribution. It's about making a difference, adding value rather than taking. It's giving rather than getting. And then the fourth one is when we work together effectively like that, we get in synergy where the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. So there are the four principles of the foundation, and then you just apply them in these principles, and it can make a significant difference.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, for people that want to learn more about what Roger is up to, he has a website called ARMerrill, ARMerrill.com, and the book is called Talent Unleashed, 3 Leadership Conversations, and the application is for everyone, and most people on this line are entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, people involved in many different directions, but people that are really deeply devoted to continue to learn and grow, and having these conversations be so simple can make such a profound difference in the people around us. So I want to thank you, Roger, for taking the time out today to be with us and share your wisdom, which continues to grow and deepen and develop, and why so many people go to you. I just hold you as this wise, wise being that deeply touches people in a very quiet, profound way, and I'm so grateful for who you be and the difference you've made in the world. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you. It's good to connect with you.
Well, it's really wonderful. So next week we have another thought leader from a whole different perspective, David Allen, and he's going to be talking about not just, he's most famous for his work and his book on getting things done, but truly what's underneath how we get things done is really clearing the path, like Roger was talking about, and making it easy and smooth and peaceful to live our lives in alliance and congruence with what we're talking about. So it's a wonderful combination, and I invite people to, if you haven't read First Things First or Life Matters or The Nature of Leadership, these are 3 books that are a great contribution to your library and to your life, most importantly. So thanks, everyone, for being with us. And Roger, if you're willing to stand by for a few minutes for some Q&A, we'll complete our recording and have a few minutes with you.
Okay.
Great. Stand by, everybody.